What a wonderful time of singing this evening. I enjoy hearing all those instruments. I don't hear much singing, actually, from up here, especially with that trumpet and all these instruments. I think there's almost as many musicians playing as there are people singing, but it's wonderful to hear that. If you can remember our missionary of the week in prayer, the Kilmers, be in prayer for them. And we'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer before I dive into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a risen Savior. We thank you that you have given us the living word, your word which is forever settled in heaven. We thank you that we can study it and understand it, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. I pray now that you would guide my lips, my thoughts, that the words that come forth would be pleasing in your sight, would be what you would have me to say. I pray you'd give understanding to those who are listening. And I pray that you would help us all to have a better grasp of what you were talking about here in this passage tonight. We pray that you'd be with our missionaries, the Kilmers, as they faithfully serve you there in South Africa. They've been there for many years. I know things haven't always been easy. Even recently, they've had some robberies and threats to their life and different things. But you've shown yourself faithful to them. I pray that you would help them to remain strong, to be able to be healthy and continue that ministry. And I pray that you would help us this week to keep them in the forefront of our prayers, to be praying for them daily as you lead us. We ask your blessing on the service here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to try to finish up my series on the book of Titus. We will be in Titus chapter 3 for the most part, but if you can put a placeholder in Romans chapter 12 as well, we will be in the parts of Romans 12, 13, and 14, as well as looking at Titus chapter 3, because I think there's some correlation between those passages. It gives a little bit better understanding than what I necessarily can say for myself. God's word is its own concordance or a commentary. It tells us a lot just by bouncing around from passage to passage and reading the context there. So we've seen in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 1, we saw Paul introduce himself, introduce us to this man named Titus. And he gave Titus a job. He told Titus to go to Crete, or to stay there in Crete, to ordain elders or leaders in their churches. And he gives them the qualifications there. And he also tells them to set the things in order within the church. We saw in Titus chapter 2 that Titus is addressing the people of the church and how they are to conduct themselves with other people within the church, teaching and training and leading them and their different mindset that they should have. In Titus chapter 3, we work more with how the people of the church are to interact with the people around them, not just within the church. We'll open up in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." We see here that Paul is telling Titus there needs to be a change in the believer's attitude. From the time they get saved, Christ does an amazing work in their life. We're all familiar with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We see people are to be transformed by God's word. He says here in verse 3, we were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the old man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we see this transition from the old man to the new man. What are some things that we are to put on and put off? Well, he says here, first, our attitude towards those in authority over us. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. That's telling us, recognize that there's an authority over you. Paul says in many other epistles that he wrote about the order of authority and how God has placed the authority over us, whether it's a governor, whether it's a president, whether it's kings. God has placed those authority in our lives. If we turn to Romans chapter 3, we see him describe this a little bit more in detail. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Paul is saying here, recognize that God has put the authority over you. I had someone ask me today, what do you think of the war going on in Iran? I said, I don't know. Why don't I know? Because I'm not receiving all the information that our government leaders have received. I don't know all that's going on. I'm not to be a judge of what they're doing on these situations where they're giving a lot of intelligence and they have to make a decision based on that. We all have decisions we make each and every day based on the information we're provided. Sometimes we're provided good information. Sometimes we're not. I'm sure all of you have had directions to go somewhere. And you get started driving, and all of a sudden, there's road construction, there's a detour. The person who gave you those instructions, those directions, may not have known about that. And so now you're wondering, where am I going to go? And you put in your GPS, and it tells you, go this way, go that way, and eventually, you hope you get there. But we're not given all the directions that our leaders are given. We don't know everything they're given, so we need to support them and pray for them as they are our leaders. They are there to protect us from evil, so we should respect the laws that are there. And that's what Paul is telling Titus. Let them be obedient. Put them subject to principalities and powers. He also says to pay your taxes there in the book of Romans that we looked at. I know April 15th is coming up, and it's one of those things, oh, do I really have to do this? Can I find any loophole to get out of paying my taxes? Well, as good citizens, we are to give to those whom it is due, tribute to whom tribute, custom to who custom. Why? Again, some of that is needed for our protection, to pay for those in authority to help keep the laws and maintain those. If we go back to Titus chapter 3, and we compare it to some of the things we're supposed to put off, he said to be subject to principalities, powers, and obey magistrates in verse 1. In verse 3, he says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. You know, he says, put off that disobedience and obey those in authority over you. But not just our attitude towards authority, we're to make a change in our attitude towards ourselves and the time that we have. He says next in Titus 3, verse 1, to be ready to every good work. That's what we're to put on. What are we to put off? In verse 3, foolishness, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. You know, living for myself. Whatever the flesh feels like, or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever makes me feel good now, that's what I'm going to live for. Paul says, Titus, they need to put that off. But instead, they need to be ready to every good work. We see this in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Drop down to verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's a list of some things that we need to be mindful to do. We need to be loving one another as God loved us. We need to be preferring one another. We need to be helping others, distributing to the necessity of saints, and be given to hospitality. We need to be looking for ways that we can help one another. We need to be of the same mind. So many of us, I was talking to a guy today, we were talking about driving, and how when you're teaching a new student driver, and you're telling them when to apply the brakes, or when not to apply the brakes, or how quickly. And sometimes they apply them a little bit sooner than you would. You're like, oh, no, you can let it go a little bit longer. Then other times it's a little later and you're like, are you going to stop? You know, we all think a little differently. And there are some things that's okay with. But in all, we should be of one mind to be trying to serve one another in love. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil in verse 17, but provide things honest in the sight of men. Are we doing things honestly? Are we trying to deceive others? So there's a list there in Romans about things that we need to put off and some good deeds that we need to be doing. So we have our attitudes towards authority. We have our attitude towards our own self and our time. We also have our attitude towards others. In Titus chapter 3, we see he says in verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Here we're to put on things that come out of our mouth, speaking to speak evil of no man. So we're speaking nice things, true things, honest things. And we're supposed to show meekness and be gentle. What are we putting off? Well, we're putting off living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Those evil thoughts, those things of vengeance, I want to get back. God says to put those off and put on this new man. Titus continues in verse 4. It says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. After you've been saved, you can have the ability to put off that old man. It's not until you get saved that you have that new man that is to be renewed. In verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, putting off the old man and putting on the new man is not something we can do in our own strength. It's not something we have the power to do. Are there people in the world who seek to do good to others? Yes. And we look at that and we say, well, how can they seek to do good if they don't have Christ living in them? Well, they have a conscience. They know right from wrong. And just because they're doing good, we don't know their heart and their attitude. Sometimes we do things and they're good to other people, but the reason we're doing it is to make ourselves feel good. It makes me feel better when I can help this person out. It makes me feel better if I can do something to help them. And our focus is on ourselves. Our focus isn't to be on ourselves. Our focus is, look what Christ did for me. We've just been through the resurrection and crucifixion services. All that Christ suffered for us. We're not doing good to others. We're not putting on this new man to make ourselves feel good. We're doing it because we're thankful for what God has done for us. Colossians chapter 3 starting in verse 8 says, but now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We need to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who created us? According to John chapter 1, we see that Jesus created us. What did Jesus do for us? Well, he was born as a baby. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Then he hung on the cross, having our sins with him, being forsaken of God because of our sin. Then he rose again the third day, victorious over death and the grave. You see, renewing our mind, focusing on the knowledge of Christ, will give us the vision to continue to follow him. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Continuing on through Titus chapter 3, we see in verse number 8, This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Here, Paul tells Titus, you need to be discerning. There are people out there who will try to trick you, to deceive you, to get you distracted. The Pharisees and scribes during the time of Christ exemplified this for us. Matthew chapter 12, we see them asking Christ, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They weren't doing it because they wanted to know the answer. They were trying to trick him. Matthew chapter 22, if a man dies without children, and he leaves his wife, and he has seven brothers, and each of them marry the lady, and none of them have children. When we get to heaven, whose wife will she be? Is that profitable? You need to be discerning, Titus. Mark chapter 7. Why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? You know, sometimes we get caught up in little nuances of things. And we start building up walls between us. Oh, that person doesn't wear the right kind of shoes. Or they have the wrong buttons on their shirt. You know, there are groups that will shun people because they're wearing the wrong outfit. You know what? That creates division. There's nothing in Scripture we see that backs that up. But they're making these traditions of man, and they're putting up walls to separate themselves. Even within our own circles, we build walls over things that tear people down. It kind of lifts up ourselves, saying, I'm more holy than you are. That's what the Pharisees did. So he says in verse 9, to avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And be discerning also. It says in verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. There are people seeking to cause divisions. I think of this when I'm thinking of the book of 1 Corinthians. You know, there are many groups out there. Who do you associate with? Some say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, but I am of Jesus. You know, they're dividing themselves into groups. Were they all teaching the truth from what we see? Yes. We see Paul's writings in line with Christ's writings. We see Apollos originally, he was teaching only the baptism of John, but when Aquila and Priscilla came along, they taught him about Christ and how Christ fulfilled all the scriptures. And he went forth then and preached the truth. But they would segregate based upon a person. Well, I follow this person. Who are we following? Are we making that our group, that we segregate from others who don't? Mark chapter 11, verses 27 to 33 say, and they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, there came to him, that's Christ, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and said to him, by what authority does thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. They reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of man, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. They answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, Jesus was a master answerer of the questions. He understood people's hearts and minds. He could discern the truth. And you know, he didn't answer every question. Here he gave them a choice. If you'll answer this one question, then I'll answer yours. But they chose not to answer it. Sometimes we have to choose not to answer. When we're confronted with questions that will cause divisions, and we know there's not a true heart to receive it. We also see Paul telling Timothy to be aware of the same things. In 1 Timothy 1:4, he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. In 1 Timothy 6:4-5, he says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Some of those will come in because they're proud and they want to show themselves better. They think that gain is godliness. He says, withdraw thyself from these people. That's what a heretic is. A heretic is the one who comes in and tries to cause those divisions. 2 Timothy 2, Paul tells Timothy, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. You know, there are over 45,000 Christian denominations in the world today. There's over 50 different groups of Baptists within the United States. There are hundreds of independent Bible-believing churches like ours that aren't even put into those categories. Why are there so many different ones? These vain questions and genealogies, a lot of times, people boasting themselves and lifting themselves up. We see an example of this in 3 John. If you will turn with me to 3 John. John is writing to the church. He says in 3 John, since there's only one chapter, verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that they would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. You see, Diotrephes was causing division. He was segregating himself from the other believers. He was saying, nope, I want to have the preeminence here. I want to be in power. I want people to follow me. And I'm not going to let anyone in who's going to be competition. John says to avoid those people. Paul tells Titus to avoid those. God said, Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ephesians 4, 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Ephesians 4, 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and of the fullness of Christ. You know, we are all to be drawing closer to God. He is to be the one we're looking to for guidance. And as we draw closer to him, we will draw closer to the other brethren who are drawing nigh to him. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You see, Christ wants us to be unified as a church. Not to say, oh, well, the doctrines of the truth, you know, those divide people, so we just get rid of them. So we can all be believers all together. No. Know the truth. Follow the truth. But don't cause petty things to destroy the name of Christ. I know of one person who told me that he's done with church because he grew up in a church that said you had to have the right kind of shoes. You had to have the right kind of belt buckle. And he got laughed at when he went to public school and other schools. And he saw so much division in the church. And he says, "I'm done with it." You know, that's not the picture of what God wants. He wants us to follow after truth. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, people thought of the church as the Pharisees and the scribes and those within the religious organization. But Christ went to the lost. He went to the harlots. He went to the publicans. He went to those who were down and out, the sick, the lepers. And people say, well, why are you associating with those? Because they know that they're lost. They know they have a need. Sometimes we get focused so much within ourselves. We compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, look at us. We do this in our church, but this church over here, they don't do that. They do this instead. And we say, oh, we're better than them. Maybe not out loud, but in our heart. What does 2 Corinthians 10:12 say? Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. "As the truth of Christ is in me." No, that's 11, sorry. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." We're not to be comparing ourselves to those around us. It's unwise. We need to be comparing ourselves to Christ and following after him. Well, how does Paul finish out the book here to Titus? He says, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." Titus, you're not going to be alone. I'm going to send some men who will help to fill in. It's not all on you. He says to bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." I thought about that. Let ours also learn to maintain good works. You know, Paul had an entourage of men who followed after him. He may have Timothy or Luke or Silas, or here we've got the names of Zenas and Apollos, Artemis and Tychicus. We see all these different people that spent time with Paul as he traveled. He says, we're not above this. We also need to learn, make sure that we are maintaining good works, not of our own strength, but through the strength of the Lord. And he ends with, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. You know, the book of Titus gives us an insight into the church. We need to have leaders who are humble, who care for those within the congregation, and who lead by example. We in the congregation need to be teaching the next generation what we have learned. It's not, okay, here's my journal. I'm going to sit down and tell you everything I've learned. But as we go through things, look at what the Lord has done. Look how I've grown. Look at what the Lord's convicted me of, and we need to be teaching one another. But do it humbly, recognizing that we are still growing. And then we need to have a good reputation to those without. We need to obey the authority over us. We need to be kind and loving, not just to those within our local church, but to those without. That we as a body, the body of Christ, can be fulfilling the work he wants us to be doing, to bring praise and glory to him. Jesus commanded the disciples to go forth and be a witness, to tell others about Christ, to baptize them, then to disciple them and teach them the ways of the Lord. That is what all of our responsibility is. I hope we're doing that. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight from your word. I pray that we would be faithful followers of you, that we would not be heady and high-minded, seeking our own pleasures. Help us not to strive to compare ourselves among others and see how much better we are than they are. But help us to look to you, to be renewed in our knowledge of you, that we would spend time in your word getting to know you better and realizing how sinful we are. And help us to see you working in our lives, that we may share that with others and have them come to know you as their personal Savior as well. And then to help disciple and train them. I pray that we would be faithful each day to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.